We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Hodah, Halacha Vav, in middle of paragraph Nun Zayin. Rav Nosson Zal was just discussing the concept of utilizing Mili Dishtusa in order to sustain oneself when a person finds themselves in the real bitterness of Golos, Rachmona Litzlan. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zev ayimoraru es chayeyem ba'avoida kosho b'choymor leveinim. And this is why the Torah tells us that the Egyptians embittered the lives of Klal Yisrael with hard labor, ki ikar meriras hagolos hubechinas avdus, because this is the main bitterness of exile. The main bitterness of exile is the servitude, shenimshach mizua masanochosh, which originates from the filth of the snake, mebchinas bitzovoin tochalena, from the curse that Hashem gave at the beginning of creation, where Hashem cursed the world with depression, the struggle for parnosa, and all the turbulence that a person would experience in that, and especially the unhappiness, the different flavors, 31 flavors of unhappiness that people go through in the process of trying to earn a livelihood. Bechinas his gabrus soatzus kanal, meaning especially this gabrus atzus, shehu bechinas tit hayovein, which is referred to as a deep pit. Shalze tzoak David, about this, David Melech cried out to Hashem, Tovati b'yevein metzulovein mamad. Hashem, I feel myself sinking into this deep pit and I can't hold on. Hatzileini mitit valet bo, Hashem, save me from this, I shouldn't drown. V'zeh shekosu b'zoyer HaKodesh, and this is why the Zoyer HaKodesh says, b'avoyda kosho, that the Egyptians embittered the lives of the Jews with hard labor. This refers to bekushya, with questions. They chat questions that challenge the faith of the Jewish people. B'choymer, when it says they made them suffer using lime, b'chumra d'shmaitza, the struggle of trying to understand the Torah Shebaal Peh, specifically the Gemara. U'bilevenim, and with bricks, b'libun hilchasa. The Zohar HaKadosh says this refers to the struggle of trying to clarify the halacha, people trying to understand, again, the Torah Shebaal Peh. Ki zeh ikar merirus hagolos, because this is the main bitterness that Klal Yisrael is experiencing in Golos, shemevalvel hasimcha boyisborach, which disturbs our ability to rejoice with Hashem, shubchinas emunah gdosha, meaning our true faith, which is referred to as anpenahorin, a lit up face, al yidei hakushyos vabilbulim. The main thing that makes life difficult is the questions, the doubts, the confusion about Yiddishkeit. Shezeo b'chinas chumra d'shmaitza v'libon d'hilchasa. This refers to the trouble that even Talmidei Chachamim have in trying to figure out the Torah, trying to figure out the Torah Shebaal Peh, especially. Ki ikar b'chinas asuko shmaitza v'libon d'hilchasa. Now Rav Nosson Zal is making one of those incredibly profound statements. Ki ikar b'chinas asuke shmaitza v'libon d'hilchasa. Because when the Gemara talks about one of the main goals in learning Torah, that one of the main goals in learning Gemara is to get to the point. And what's the point? The point is to get to the halacha. That after going through 10, 15 pages of controversy and rabbis going back and forth and battling it out and mixing in all kinds of things from all sections of Shas, the most important thing is, what's the verdict? Is it kosher or is it treif? Are you allowed to do this or you're not allowed to do this? Does he have to pay or is he exempt from paying? That's what we know. That's the pshat. That's how we translate those words, al pi pshat, the concept of asuke shmaitza aliba de hilchasa. But Rav Nosson Zal says, but there's an even more important goal than that. When we talk about getting to the point of learning, the real getting to the point is levarer ulalabein etzois amitiois lavoides haboiris borach. The real point is to be able to derive from the Torah clear advice as to how to serve Hashem properly. Lotzeis mizuam odahai alma shvela, how to exit from the filth of this lowly world, ulehiskariv elav hisborach, and had to come close to Hashem. Ki loy hamed reshua ikar ela hamaisa, because the most important thing is not learning, it's doing. It's actually doing Yiddishkeit. Ubishvil ze ikur his haiskarvus l'talmidei chachamim l'tzadikim amitim. And that's the main reason for trying to come close to talmidei chachamim and to tzadikim. Kedei sheheim yoyru lanu es haderech hashenelech bo v'samayis hashenase b'chol es. So that they should guide us and show us and teach us what path to go on, what to do at all times. Before we're married, after we're married, when we're experiencing success in Parnassim, when we're struggling, when we're in a happy mood, when we're in unhappy moods, when we're going through problems with our children. So that each and every single one of us should have the ability to get out of what we're supposed to get out of. And to come close and to return to Hashem. That's the main goal of coming close to the Talmid Chachamim, to the Tzadikim. And that's the main goal of learning. Whereas the Sitra Achra, which is the bitterness of exile, which is depression, this Sitra Achra tries so hard to embitter the lives of Klal Yisrael with what? Bekashos, with questions about Hashem, things going on in our lives that we don't understand, we can't make sense out of it. Ubilbulei emuno, things that disturb our faith in Hashem, or faith in Tzadikim, or faith in the Torah. Ubilbulei etzos, or our confusion in being able to understand and derive clear advice from the Torah. Ad she'enom yoidim lelabein ha'halocha v'aderach v'ahiluch lo shel Hashem Yisborach, to the point where even religious Jews are unable to come up with clear answers and to be able to come up with a clear derech as to how to come close to Hashem or how to return to Hashem. And this is what it means in the Pasuk when it says that the Egyptians made the Jews do work, difficult work out in the fields. Shehu taivas momoin v'tirda saparnosa. This refers to those people who work, specifically the workers, those who are involved in the struggle to earn a living, and that go through that difficult test of taivas momoin, knowing where to draw the line, what's too much, what's too little, what's just right in going about trying to earn a livelihood. Shemuchrochim lotzeis me oihel Torah. This is referring to those people who find themselves obligated to have to leave the Beis Medrash. Lotzeis mi Beis HaMedrash, elasoda, to leave the Beis Medrash and go out into the field. Lasek beparnosa, to deal with earning a livelihood. Ad shematridoi bechol avoida basoda. And the Yetzirah takes those people and he tries to drown them in the avoida basoda. And he takes those people and he convinces them that it's impossible for them to allocate set times for the study of Torah. At least that much. At least if you're not from those who are able to be in the Beis Medrash full time, to at least make sure that you're committed, you're obligated to have certain set times for the study of Torah. And this is what the pasuk means. The end of the pasuk, Rav Nosson Zal is explaining every word of that pasuk in detail, where it says that the Egyptians imposed work on Klal Yisrael, which was porech, backbreaking work. This word porech, the Gemara gives several interpretations for it. Vidorsh Razal, one of the interpretations that the Gemara gives of the word beporech is beperach. That the Egyptians spoke to the Jews softly and gently at first. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Shebetchilo nichnas imoy habaldover vasitrachro beperach. Initially, the Yetzirah comes to a person speaking nicely and softly. Umislabesh b'mitzvois. The Yetzirah comes to him speaking like a rabbinical figure. And he says to the person, number one, you have to admit that it's impossible for a human being to sit and study Torah all day. Otherwise, how are you going to support a family? It's a total impossibility. I had a kasha that you have today tens of thousands of people that are doing it. somehow, number one, the first thing that he convinces, tries to convince the person is that it's totally impossible. It's irrational. It's not sensible. It doesn't make any sense. It's, you got to be nuts, suicidal to do such a thing. That's number one. Therefore, if you're normal, if you're a normal human being, you're going to go out to work. No question about that. That's step one. You want to die? You want to be a pauper and not be able to pay your bills and be in debt your whole life, etc., etc.? That's number one. To the point where the Yetzer Hara throws the person into that deep, deep ditch, shehu anpen chashuchan, which is darkness, merirus, meriras ha'atzus, the bitter depression, shelamomoin, that comes with the struggle to earn a livelihood, b'chinas b'itzovoin toichalena, ad shafilu kishimarviach mamoin, to the point the Yetzer Hara pushes the person down and he messes the person's brain up, to the point where even when the person is making money, he's earning a living, Einoi maspik loy kol yomov. The Yetzer Hara says, what are you talking about? You haven't earned anything. You haven't saved anything yet. Or if he did say, you haven't saved enough yet. Ki mishtoikei b'chol pam yoser, because the Yetzer Hara keeps changing, moving the line. At first, the line is just to be able to support my family. Then the line becomes that I need a bigger house, and I need a car, and I need a bigger car, and a better car, and I need, you know, going further and further. Ki mishtoikei b'chol pam yoser. To the point where even if when the person's making money, all, you know, no matter how many years he's working, it's not enough. Because his desires keep becoming higher and higher. And the Torah tells us that usually the more possessions a person has, the more worries, the more insecurities the person has. Because what did Paro do to the Jews? He had them build gigantic cities, fortresses. This isn't something talking about 3,000 years ago. This is today's Paro, today's Yetzer Hara, who tries to convince Jews to build Pisaim and Ramses, to build palaces for themselves, palatial homes. Shehem binyonim gedolim ugevoyim. This refers to big, tall buildings. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, haboinim charovo islamoi, uchsiv kirbom botemoi lyolam. The pasuk associates building with charovos, a sword. And the pasuk says, kirbom botemoi lyolam, that their homes become, the Gemara Dashan's kivrom, their graves. In a sense, where the person gets buried by the struggle for parnosa, where again, here we're talking specifically about those people who aren't satisfied with minimum. They're not looking for the minimum of what they need to get by begashmius in olam hazeh, but rather they're looking for a good life, for a great life, that kind of thing, and they're looking, rahman al-islam, to have more gashmius than the minimum that they need to get by. And as a result, they sell their souls to the devil, as they say. They allow the Yetzer Hara to swallow them up completely in the quest for Parnosa, and they allow the Yetzer Hara to talk them into the fact that they can't set aside a couple hours a day for learning, for Espiritus, for St. Ilum, for davening, etc., etc. And Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here that he's making us aware that that's exactly what this is. It's Atzas HaYetzer. It's not the truth. It's not reality, the way some people try to, you know, convince us. Get real, you know, be real. You want to survive in this world, you got to work. And not just regular work, you got to really work. You got to work hard to get somewhere. And all of that kind of talk to convince the person, Chas V'Shalom, to drop the kesher to Torah, to drop the kesher to tefillah, etc. Now to get back to what we mentioned before on the topic of mili d'shtusa, this is an extremely important item which Rav Nosson Zal mentions in several places in Likutei Halachos. And when he mentions it, he elaborates. He really goes big because this is extremely important. And the best advice that I could possibly give on this, once again, is Shimush Chachomim. When a person wants to know anything in Yiddishkeit, there are two ways to learn it. One place is the book, you know, reading the books, and the other place is watching the movie, you know, being close to Talmidei Chachamim, trying to get close to Talmidei Chachamim, and trying to watch the Torah live, real time, trying to watch to see how do they observe these things. What do they do? What things do they do? What things they don't do? The Torah here gives us examples of Dovr HaMelech, that Dovr HaMelech was in a certain predicament, where he was in the palace of Ochishmelech. He was dead. He was a dead duck. For real. It was all over for him. Number one, he had Shaul HaMelech, who had a death sentence out from him, who was chasing him with an army. And things got so bad that Dovr HaMelech felt safer leaving Eretz Yisrael, leaving his homeland, and going into the land of the Pelishtim, where all goyim, all Nazis, all murderers, all one thing, the Jew that they would all want dead the most was Dovr HaMelech, who had killed their idol, who was Goliath. And still, Dovr HaMelech knew he was better off there, and finally when they captured him and brought him before Ochishmelech Gaz, where he saw that it's all over, he saw that the Sitrachro was Mizgaber Mamish, that it was all over. He knew his only resort at that time was his Gabrus of Simcha. And to try to use the standard methodologies for Simcha of learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, impossible. He had to switch to channel Q, which was Miri Dishnusa. And he put on an exhibition. You know, we hear the things that he did. He started pulling Ochish's beard. He started writing on the walls in the palace and drooling. He made himself crazy. There, he made himself really look crazy, because there was no choice. That was the only way to save himself. As the Torah testifies, he did save himself. And again, the craziness didn't stay with him. He was able to turn it on and turn it off at will. As soon as that performance was over, as soon as he escaped, he went back to being normal, healthy Dovr HaMelech. That's one example. We see another example of this, Rav Nosenzal writes in Kotei Halachos, is on Purim. Some of the mitzvahs that are done on Purim, dressing up in costumes, drinking, getting drunk, actually getting drunk, these are all examples of trying to be mechazik ourselves with midli d'shtusa at a time of the hisgabrus of the sitrachra. These are things that, again, a person watches present-day tzaddikim and watch what they do and what they don't do in the process. There's a concept of having a sense of humor, being able to tell over a joke, a good joke, and being able to laugh from it, or being able to see humor, you know, and things like this. We just had yesterday the Suda of Purim here in Breslov, and, you know, the leaders of Breslov come dressed Yom Tov. On Purim, you're supposed to dress Shabbistik, so they came in their shtraimels and their long coats, and as they sat down for the Suda, they were beheaded. Their shtraimels were removed, and there were funny caps put on them. A Russian cap was put on one, and this, and they didn't say, no, it's Yom Tov, give me back my shtraimel, you know. They understood that to sit with this kind of cap, nothing wrong with it, you know, and there's singing and dancing and drink, you know, there was a certain frivolous atmosphere that isn't something standard that's done only on Purim. And therefore, those types of things are permitted, you know, at times when it's needed. But it requires, obviously, this does require good judgment and good sense and shimush chachomim to know what's too little, what's too much, and what's just right. There are certain cases, for example, recently, there's a certain particular group, a fringe group in Breslov that's become popular in the world. They've become well-known, renowned for their simcha, dancing on trucks and dancing in middle of city squares and putting on a performance. And I've heard two sides to that. I've heard some people say, oh, it's a chil Hashem. You know, most people in the religious world look on it and say they're monkeys, they're nuts, it's chil Hashem and nothing less or more. And recently, just last week, I had the opportunity to be in the office of a surgeon, an Orthodox, a modern Orthodox Jewish surgeon in Yerushalayim, an eye surgeon happened to be. And he and his wife mentioned that they saw on television, they saw filmed, you know, people performing breslovers, dancing by the kosel. And they were talking about it, that it was such a beautiful thing to see genuine simcha, you know, real, genuine, unadulterated, pure simcha, happiness. You know, they were talking positively about it. So obviously there's some delicateness, there's some care that has to be done, and each person has a responsibility. This is part of Aseh L'Chorav, to seek out who is my guide in everything in Yiddishkeit, including Simcha, including Mili D'Shtusa, to know where I draw my line, and to know also that not necessarily what applies to A applies to Z, meaning that not necessarily what's good for one person is good for the other person, and just because I don't do something doesn't mean that it's wrong. Just because I can't do something doesn't define it as being wrong or terrible or anti-religious. You have to know each person in their circumstance, and a Baal Tshuva is in one category, and a person who's been religious their whole life is in a different category. On one hand, the Torah does, this does mean, I heard of one instance, a friend called me last night, right after Purim, somebody that had his seventh Sheva Brachas last night, on Purim, at the Sud of Purim was his seventh Sheva Brachas. And he was so happy and so high. Mamish, they were in such good spirits that all the Sheva Brachas had gone so well. And they were at a friend's home. The Sheva Brachas was being held at a friend's home. And what happened was, in the middle of the Simcha, a neighbor came in, a religious person, who was obviously a little bit tipsy. And because of the fact that the Kala, the bride of the Sheva Brachas, was wearing a man's hat. She was dressed, was wearing a man. The chosn wasn't sure whether that's what caused it or not, but somehow the neighbor put his arm around the kala, whose sheva brachas it was. And she felt terrible about it when it happened, and her husband felt terrible about it, and they went home after the suda, and he used the word depressed. They were depressed that, look at this, on our seventh Sheva Brachas, after everything had gone so well, all 7 days, the wedding was so, everything was so wonderful, like, why did this happen to us? Such a thing, you know, that a man should put his arm around, you know, all religious people were talking about. Man put his arm around somebody else's wife, you know. And my response at the time was severalfold. Number one, to be depressed about such a thing is obviously forbidden, because Rabbeinu Zal was once at a wedding with his students, and the drummer was an orphan boy. And this drummer was obviously, this boy was very, very tired at the wedding, and he was actually dozing off as he was drumming. So the person who was leading the band or something saw him falling asleep on the job. He gave him a smack on his back, like to wake him up. So he got startled for a second and right away started beating the drum again. When Rabbeinu Zal saw that, Rabbeinu Zal smiled and he said to his students, "You see that? A patch gechabt und freilich geklappt. Look at that, the boy got smacked. What do people usually do when they get smacked? They start crying, or they yell, ouch, or it takes them a few weeks to recover, you know, to get back to being happy. Look at this boy, he got smacked and a second later, He's happy. He's beating it. You know, he's banging that drum. He's playing music. A Jew has to be able, when something goes wrong in their life, usually, to be able to bounce back immediately, and to know that very often it's a test from the Yetzirah to see how fast the person's going to jump out of it. Whether the person's going to use this as an excuse to fall permanently, or to fall for a few weeks, or a few months, or a few hours even, or the person's going to say, baloney, if there was something wrong here, then I'll drown it in mitzvahs. If I did an Avera, let me drown it in a few hundred mitzvahs. That's one aspect of it. And another point that I made is that it was interesting that I had heard just this Purim repeated by Rav Michal, that regarding dressing up on Purim, there are different opinions among Poskim. There are some poskim that say that one line that should not be crossed is that men should not dress up as women, women should not dress up as men. And a person would say, like, why, you know? And which person would ever think of such an item, that when a woman is dressed as a man, that such a thing could happen, that another man could actually mistaken her for a man, and shake hands or hold, you know, and not realize that he's shaking hands with a woman, which is something a person, somebody else's wife or something, which he certainly wouldn't want to do, you know, even on Purim. So there are things to be learned from every instance, you know, even in terms of Mili on Purim, for example, which is an incredible mitzvah and an incredible privilege, which is discussed in Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid. It's discussed in all aspects of Torah. The tremendous significance of drinking on Purim, and yet the halacha adds a footnote that this applies to those people who can be sure that in their drunkenness they're not going to do anything terrible, you know, or anything very bad. Whereas if a person is not certain of that, then for those people they should drink a little bit more than usual. If usually on a Shabbos or Yom Tov the most they would drink is a cup of wine, then they drink two cups on Purim, but definitely not enough to make them cross that line where they're not sure of what they're capable of doing, chas v'shalom. These are examples of, even within the Mili de Shtusa, that there is a concept, there is a need for a tzimtzum, and again, the issue of shimush chachamim, to watch and know what applies and what doesn't. Paragraph Nun Ches. V'zeh b'chinas ma shegozar paroi kol haben hayiloid hayoyer tashlichuhu. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on everything we've been learning till now, we can understand why when Paroi wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, etc., etc., he issued a decree that the boys should be, any newborn boy, male child, should be thrown into the river. Im beinhu v'amitenoi, so if it's a boy, kill him. Vim basi v'choyo, if it's a girl, let her live. A person would ask logically, why would a goy want to bother differentiating? Well, can make it simple, kill them all, Rachmon al-Islam. Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki ben sitra didchura, bechinas simcha, bechinas ben chocham yismacho, because we know, according to Kabbalah, one of the main yesoidos, one of the main foundations in the limud of Kabbalah is that just about everything in creation is in the form of male or female. It's on one of those two sides. And generally, when we speak about Zohar and Akeva, male is referred to as a ben, a son. A male is referred to as the side of Duchra, and a daughter is referred to as the side of Nukva. And Simcha, the concept of happiness, is more associated with male than with female. Rav Nosson Zal brings a pasuk to prove this. The pasuk says, "Ben chacham yismachov," that when a person is zochet to have a son who is wise, who is intelligent, the father is happy. So we see that it's the ben that's ma'orer simcha. And if you'll take a look in Likutei Halachos Evan Hoezer, towards the beginning, where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about the laws of Pru Ravu, about a man getting married, there Rav Nosson Zal repeats this many, many times, that Zohar is the concept of Chesed, Simcha, Nekeva is the concept of Gevura, Atzvus in many cases. This is why, for example, when the Nachash, the original snake, had a choice of who to approach, to try to attack, you know, in terms of getting them to commit the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the Nachash went for Chava, because he knew that she was more vulnerable to him. She is the concept of Atzvus. She is the concept of the Malchus, which is the Raglaim, the feet, Raglecho Yordois Moves. She's the one who's closer to the Sitrachra, closer to the Klipois, than the male generally is. Because the male, generally, is this concept of Simcha. And there, in Likutei Halachos Evan Ezer, Rav Nosson Zal explains that one of the reasons why Hashem made it that a man is obligated to get married is to be zeichet to shleimus hasimcha. Because as we learned earlier, Rav Nosson Zal quoted the chapter in the Likutei Maran, that shleimus hasimcha is not when the yogoyin v'anocha runs away, but rather when a person is zeichet to take the yogoyin v'anocha and include it into the simcha, bring it into the simcha. And Rav Nosson Zal explains there, that's this concept of taking a woman who is Bechinas Yogoyin Vanocha. She is the one who is generally more susceptible and more vulnerable to the Sitrachra, to Atzvus. and take the woman and bring her into the simcha, make her be nichlal, put her where she carries the husband's name. Before he was Goldstein and she was Rosenberg, and they get married and she's no longer Rosenberg. She becomes Mrs. Goldstein, which means she comes under the umbrella, under the title, and under the hashpo of the husband. She becomes nichlal in his simcha. And that's why the Gemara uses that term, ha-mesameach es ishtoi, ha-shorei b'lo isha, shorei b'lo simcha, because of the fact that, again, including her into the equation, that brings shleimus ha-simcha. However, again, on a basic level, if we want to talk about Zohar and Akeva, Zohar is assumed to be a concept of chasodim, a concept of simcha, happiness. Female is assumed to be a concept of gevura, midas hadin, which is the opposite of simcha. Rav Nosson says, ubas sitra denukva, and the daughter is the concept of female, shom ikar achiza soatzvus. That's the place where, which is most vulnerable and susceptible to atzvus, sadness, depression. Bechinas ragleho yordois moves, as the pasuk says, it's the feet that go down most easily, chas v'shalom, into the valley of death, you know, into the sitra achra. So why did, in Paroi saying that the boys drown, the girls, let them live? Ki rotzo lahagbir sitra denukva. Because Paroi was looking to amplify the side of nukva. Bechinas atzvus, which is the concept of depression, sadness. Sheze ikar toikev hagolus. That's the essence of exile. When a person falls from their simcha, they fall from their joy, they fall into darkness, into depression, into unhappiness. So this is what Paroi was looking to achieve. Paroi made a point of saying, I don't want to harm the girl. I want the girls to live and the boys to die. This way I'll drown the Yidden in Atzvus, in Sitra. You know, I'll be Magbir, the Koyach HaGvura, against the Jews. V'zeh, and this is why the Torah says, V'atireno ha-meyaldoi se-swelikim, that the midwives, who are Yocheved and Miriam, Shifra and Pua, as they were given the nicknames, they had respect for Hashem. They had fear and respect for Hashem. V'lo yosu kasher dibar aleihem Paroi melech Mitzrayim. They did not follow the instructions of Paroi, the king of Egypt. V'techayeno es ha'ilodim. But rather, they let all the children live. Rav Nosson Zal says, ha'meyaldois, the midwives, Heim bechinas tzadike hador. They symbolize the tzadikim, the leading tzadikim. Sheheim meyaldois. They are the ones who assist in birth. Sheheim moilidim talmidim hagunim b'Yisrael. They're the ones who give birth to good students in Klal Yisrael. Shenechshivu ke'ilu yoldom. And the Gemara tells us that when a person teaches Torah to someone else's child, it's as if they gave birth to that child. Kemo Yishom Razal, as the Gemara says, Sheheim, so miyaldois refers to Talmidei Chachamim, Tzadikim Amitiim. Sheheim osu behepach midas ha-sitra achra. They did the opposite of what the sitra achra wanted. Shehi bechinas paroi u-mitzrayim, the sitra achra which is symbolized by paroi in Egypt. Shekol iskehem lahagbir ho-atzvus, whereby the sitra achra, all the sitra achra is looking to do is to amplify, to enlarge the atzvus, the depression, bekamo necholim varmimis, using all kinds of tricks and all kinds of plots. Ho'ikr, of which the most powerful one is, tirdas hamomoin vahaparnoso, to throw the person into the pit of the struggle for parnoso, the struggle for money, where people that get caught up in that, Rahman al-Slam, those people suffer the greatest degree of depression, unhappiness, sadness, lack of joy, lack of being happy with life, lack of being motivated to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Hulefomim al yedei sforois hafuchos shelahem, and at times the sitra achra uses their reverse logic, shenemshochem mehechle hatmurois, which comes from the hechle hatmurois. Shemashlichen es odom, whereby they throw a person down, they topple a Jew, al yidei ha-toichocha she'enu koroi shalohem, by reprimanding the Jew in an improper way. You know, they dress up as if they're rabbis and if they're mamish leaders of Klal Yisrael, and they're saying, "What are you, a meshugana? The Torah says that a person has to live. V'nishmatem lo'idla nafshei sechem. So in order to live, you have to have a college education, and you have to work. You have to be prepared to go through 12 years of medical school and 13 years of graduate school and this and that, and then maybe you'll have a chance of surviving in this world. You know, in this world of ours, etc." And they try to talk the person out of Torah and mitzvos and ma'asim tovim and leading a simple life. You know, it's leading the true, true good life in this world. Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ve'ein kan mekoymoy laharach bose." I don't want to elaborate on this further in terms of giving you all the examples of this. Va'ayin b'mekoymoy sacherim mize. Look in other places in our writings where we do elaborate in giving you examples of the type of reprimand that people get sometimes. Sometimes it could come from parents, sometimes it could come even from rabbis, or friends, or relatives, who are all really, really concerned for the person. They really have the person's best interest in mind, and they end up reprimanding the person to try to tear him away from the tzaddikim, to try to tear him away from really coming close to Hashem. Aval hamayaldoi sanal b'chinas tzaddikei emes, heimoisim behepech. Whereas these midwives, who are the true tzaddikim, they are the opposite of this. Sheloi dai she'eno mashlichin esodom b'divreim, kiritzoin asedrach rochaz v'shalom. Not only do they not break the person or throw the person down by reprimanding him in an improper way, not only do they not do that, afgam v'techayeno es hayelodim, but rather they inject life and motivation and inspiration into the Jewish children. Shehem mechayin es hayelodim, they give life to their students, to the children. Shehem talmidehem hanilvim aleihem, this refers to the students who come close to them. Shemechayin oisam b'divreihem ha'amitiyim, they inject life into them through their sincere words. U'meshivin es nafshon b'shiva meshivei tam, and they give the people motivation and encouragement and inspiration using all the different types of encouragement and inspiration that's available. U'mesamchen oisam b'koicham u'bedarkei tzeseim amukos, and they bring the people, they bring their students to simcha through their with their great power and through their deep, profound advice by their giving their derech in life. V'yalkein nikru hamayaldois shifra upua, and it's for this reason that the Torah tells us that these midwives were given nicknames shifra and pua. Shifra al shem shemisha peres es havlad. The Gemara says Yocheved was called Shifra because she beautified the newborn babies. Upua al shem shepoya levlad, and Miriam was called the nickname Pua because she was always pooing to the babies, to little babies, making these sounds that women make sometimes to little babies to console them, to make them feel better, to calm them down when they're crying. Kemoishom Razal, as the Gemara tells us. Kichein noyagim hatzadikim amitim im nafshos Yisrael hanilvim aleihem, because this is the custom and the derech of the true tzadikim regarding those Jews who are zeichet to come close to them and to attach themselves to them. Shemeshaprim oisam umiyapim oisam b'chol minei etzos, they beautify them and they encourage them and they inspire them and motivate them with all types of profound advice. To give them words of encouragement by showing them all the good points that are in them, all how wonderful they are and how good they are and what possibilities are available to them, what their potential is. And so too the tzaddikim make sounds like a woman makes to a little baby to calm the baby down when the baby's crying. Sheshurkin upoyim lehem, they whistle to them, they sing to them. Leval yanichu lahapil atzman b'shum oifen, so that they shouldn't allow themselves to drown, to fall you know, to get depressed, to get upset. Rak yivtechu bechazdei Hashem ki lo yisamnu. But rather they should be positive and they should have confidence and trust in Hashem's kindness. Ubegoidel koyach hatzadikim. And they should have confidence in the great power of the tzadikim. Ki lo yazoiv oysam lo ilam. That Hashem will not forsake them ever. V'loy kachatoenu yaselanu. And Hashem will not treat us in the manner that we deserve to be treated as a result of our sins. Ki lo oilam yesh tikva, because there's always hope. Kimavur harbe mizeh besforim kdoshim, as is discussed a lot throughout all the holy sforim, ubefrat bidvareinu, and especially in the breastless sforim, ayin shom hetev. Study them well, look carefully, and you'll see how all the words of encouragement and chizuk, etc., that the tzaddikim give us. A question was just raised that in this paragraph on Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal seems to be saying that the ikar vehicle that the Sitrachra uses to drown a Jew and to swallow him up in depression and to knock the air out of the Jew and to knock him out from being inspired and motivated to want to come close to Hashem is the Tirdas HaMamoin and Parnosa, that whole issue. Whereas we find in other places, in Likutei Halachos and in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, the thing there seems to be that the most powerful tool that the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, uses to mess a person up with depression and these things is Pegam HaBris. So the question is, which is it? We find, in fact, a famous quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, Ikra the Yitzra Bisha al Arayin, that the main thing that the Yetzer Hara was created for and is in this world to give a Jew a battle is regarding Arayos, regarding Pegam HaBris. The answer is this question comes up especially regarding the 12th story in Sipurei Maaseiyos that Rabbeinu Zal told, the story of the Baal Tefillah, where he speaks about different groups of people in the world who ended up being misled into chasing after all kinds of improper goals. And the worst one in that story is the people who got steeped in money, in the pursuit of excess money, you know, and taivas mamon, the wrong type of desire for money. And the question is posed, Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos, when he discusses that story, presents this question, that what about Pegam HaBris? And in that place in Likutei Halachos where he discusses it there, as he does in other places, he emphasizes that these two are one. These two go together. Taivas Mamoin and Niyuf and Gaiva and Kovoid, it's one package. It's one package. Because don't forget, in most homes where the money is a prop, who's the one who's... It's the wife who wants 3 gold bracelets and why can't we have a bigger house and we need this and that? In most places where that's a problem, it's coming from the nukva. It's coming and the issue of pegama, these two items and the desire for money. When a man is chasing after money in an improper way, usually it's for the pursuit of women also. He's looking to impress either other women, Rachman Litzlan, in the worst cases, or even his own wife, sometimes in a bad way, with the wrong kind of things. He thinks he's going to buy respect and love with money rather than buying it with the true things, with good midot, midos toivos, and tzitkus, and those kind of things. So Rav Nosson Zal shows that these two are very, very much interwoven and interdependent on each other. Each one leads to the other. Taivas Mamoin will very often, usually, either be because of or lead to Pegam HaBris. And Pegam HaBris, unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, leads to deficits in money, that the person always feels they're lacking. There's a pasuk, Me'isha Zoino Ad Kikar Lechem. You'll find many places in Likutei Maran, Likutei Halachos, where these two are hooked up together. So that, again, they are actually one in many ways. Regarding the issue of Tirdas HaMamoin, etc., and Rav Nosson Zal saying about the wrong kind of Teichocha, it's important to emphasize here, because this comes up throughout, that Rav Nosson Zal and Rabbeinu Zal and all the tzaddikim are not saying that people should not look to earn a parnosa, but people should sit and learn full time, etc., etc. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch have already paskened on that, have already given Klal Yisrael hadrocha in that, for those who are willing to be honest and look at the Gemara with open eyes, without misinterpreting, without trying to be funny. The Gemara says clearly that there was a derech of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and his Talmidim, who were ones who sat and learned full-time. They did not do anything physically, you know, related to earning a livelihood. And there was Rabbi Shmuel, whose derech was Torah im derech Eretz. And the Gemara says that there were many attempted to do like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and couldn't succeed. Many did like Rabbi Shmuel and succeeded. One of the explanations of that Gemara is that obviously the many, meaning for the majority of Klal Yisrael, for the majority of people in this world, it would be absurd, ridiculous, nutty for them to attempt, or for them to think that they're capable of, or that it's going to be productive for them to try to sit full time and learn, because they're not, their brain is not cut out for it. They're not, you know, it's not for them whatsoever. And many times, Chas Shalom, it can harm the person. For most people, for a person who's only capable of learning 3 hours a day, let's say, and put him in a situation where to force him to try to learn 8-9 hours a day, either the person won't do it, they'll fool themselves, or they'll fool other people, and sometimes they won't even learn the three. Because you're trying for nine, they won't even learn the three. They'll learn nothing. They'll end up playing around the whole time. Or if the person will try to take on more than he can really handle, Chas Shalom, sometimes it can affect the person's mind, it can harm the person's mind. So that for the vast majority of people, their derech is, as the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch emphasize, to have toiv toira im derech eretz shiagias shnei mashkachas avoyim, that if the person designates a substantial portion of their time for work and makes sure to be koiveya itim for toira and tefila, to have at least a few hours a day for toira and tefila, then the person can have a kiyum, he can be matzliach baruchnias begashmias, etc., etc. There is a small percentage of people, as there always were in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it was the Kohanim, the Levim, or the Talmidei Chachamim, those who are qualified and capable of learning, putting in 8, 10, 12 hours a day of solid learning. For them, it is a mitzvah for them to commit themselves and to obligate themselves to put in that kind of time, learning and teaching, and it is a mitzvah and a privilege for those that can to support them, to assist them. The concept of Yisochar Zvulon, you know, as we find in the Torah Shebichsav and throughout the Torah Shebaal Peh. Paragraph Nun Tes. V'ze b'chinas mare hasneh. And based on what we're learning here, we will understand the vision, the episode that Moshe Rabbeinu had where Hashem revealed himself by the burning thorn bush. And how Moshe Rabbeinu was so strong, was so insistent on his trying to refuse to accept the responsibility that Hashem wanted to give him of going and taking the Jews out of Egypt. Shehoikar hoyo machmas shero beruach kotshoi arichas merirus hagolus. The main reason for Moshe Rabbeinu's being opposed to what Hashem was asking him to do was because he obviously saw ahead into the future that even with his taking the Jews out of Egypt, it's not going to be the end of exile, but rather Klal Yisrael is going to go through long, 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 bitter exile, Shelachshav, which we're going through today still, She'yefshar lamoid al kitzoy, where nobody has any idea when it's going to end, Kihu keitz haplois, because the end is something wondrous. It's pele. It's above our it's above our understanding. Al kein lo yrotzo lahaschil leilich b'shlichusay, k'may sham razal. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing to accept this shlichus, as the Gemara says. Umuva b'pirush Rashi, and as Rashi HaKodesh elaborates, al posuk shlach no biyad tishloch, regarding the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, please send whoever you're going to send. Don't send me. כי יודע אני שאני שאיני מכניסם לארץ ישראל ואיני גואלם לאוסם. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, because I know that even if I take them out of Egypt, I will not bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and I will not be the one to redeem them permanently in the future. V'chol ze machmas riboy ha-machloikes shebein Yisrael. And the main reason for that was the terrible machloikes among Klal Yisrael. Ad she'ein yoidin heichon heimat tzadik yemes. Where as a result of this machloikes, the majority of Klal Yisrael doesn't know who are the true tzadikim. Sheze ikar arichas hagolos kiyadua. That's the main problem of the exile that Klal Yisrael is going through. The confusion, the lack of clarity in knowing who are the true leaders. Vze, and this is why the pasuk says, Vayar vihine hasne boyer boish, vahasne einenu ukol. That Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the thorn bush was on fire, it was burning, and yet it wasn't being destroyed in any way. Vehispale mo'oid, and Moshe Rabbeinu was amazed by this, and he wondered, Madua lo yivar hasne? Why isn't the thorn bush being eaten up, being destroyed? Usually you put fire to a thorn bush, in a couple of minutes it's gone. Ki hasne merameis al hagolus, kamo sham razal. Because the thorn bush symbolizes Klal Yisrael in exile, as the Gemara says. Shero hisgalus elukus belabaseish mitoich hasne. What Moshe Rabbeinu was seeing was, he was seeing a revelation of Hashem in this fire within the thorn bush. Shehu hislavus ho'esh shelev ish ha-Yisraeli sheboyer la-Shem Yisborach ha'idei koyach ha-tzadik yemes. What Moshe Rabbeinu was seeing was the Jewish soul on fire, seeing every single Jew's soul which is on fire with its yearning, with its innate desire of wanting to come close to Hashem, wanting to be part of Hashem. And what turns on that fire, what starts that fire and what fans that fire is the tzadikim amitim. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Al yidei koyach ha-tzadik yemes. What really turns on that fire is the power of the true tzadikim, who are referred to as Bechinas Ish Asher Ruach Boi. The tzadik is referred to the person who has that spirit, that fire. Sheboyer la shemizborach mitoich hasneh. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that this fire is burning even within the thorn bush. Mitoch Merirus Hagolus, that despite the fact that the Jews are in exile, they're in the thorns, and yet their heart is on fire, their soul is on fire. V'yafal pikein v'hasne einenu ukol. And despite the fire, despite the hislavus, despite those Jews who are really turned on to Hashem, yet shafal pikein the golus isn't ending, the thorns are not being destroyed. Shafal pikein mizgaber hagolus shumerira soatzvus. Despite that fire, the golus is still going strong, which means the atzvus, that Klal Yisrael is still battling this atzvus, this depression. Sheze bechinas vahasne einenu ukol. This is what the pasuk means when it said that despite the fire and the hislavus digdusha, still the golus isn't coming to an end. Shehasne shehim hachoichim vahakoitzim. The thorn bush, which represents those thorns and thistles which surround the heavenly rose, which is the Shekhinah, which is Klal Yisrael. She'ikrom hu ho'atzvus, of which the main concept of what these thorns represent is depression. Shehi golus ha'shekhinah, which is the true golus ha'shekhinah, einenu ukol, it's not coming to an end. But rather, it keeps rising up again, rearing its ugly head. Moshe Rabbeinu was amazed by this. He was in wonderment. V'omar, he said, Osurono vo'ere es hamara hagodol hazeh, madua lo yiver hasneh. I have to turn back and look and see this awesome sight. Why isn't the thorn bush being destroyed? Ki rotzo lahagia ad soif haketzo achroim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to get to understand the end, the future. Eich yizku Yisrael legula shlemo she'en achreho golus. That how is Klal Yisrael going to achieve a redemption which will be a final redemption where there will be no exile that will follow it? Levayer ulechalois hasneh, to destroy completely and eliminate this thorn bush, Shehem Hachoichim Vakoitzim Lagamri, which is these thorns and thistles, completely. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's problem. And then the Torah tells us, Vayar Hashem Kisor Lirois, that when Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was turning to look at this, that Moshe Rabbeinu was analyzing this, Vayikra Elav Hashem, Hashem called out to him, and Hashem said to him, Al Tikrav Haloim, don't get any closer, stand back. Ze Bechinas Koyach HaMesader V'HaMeyashev Hanal. This ties into the concept that we learned earlier, of the boundary, that Mesader and Meyashev, that wall, that Keser, that has to block the Moichim, not allowing them to run past the line, past the finish line, and crash into the wall. Shehu Bechinas HaMa'akev Ez Redivas HaMoichim Shelo Yerdaf Moichoi Laharois Lalois El Hashem. This is the concept of this wall, this fence, this crown, which blocks the Moichim, not allowing them to tear off, you know, and go past the line in trying to reach up to Hashem in an improper way. Hainu ki Moshe shehu hagoyel tzedek horishoin ro sheyikal es Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was destined to be the first goyel, the first redeemer, saw that he's going to redeem the Jews. Ki yuchal lesameach es Yisrael mitoich meriras hagolus. He will have the ability to bring joy to Klal Yisrael, even in the bitter exile, lohoyer bohem hisnoitet zuselakusis bora, to shine into them the light of Hashem, sheze ikar hasimcha, which is the main thing that gives a person joy, sheze bechinas labaseish. This is the concept of that raging fire that Moshe Rabbeinu saw there by the burning thorn bush. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, rishofeho rishpei heish shall heves ko, referring to the light of the Shechina, which is also compared to this raging fire, a good type of fire, shenizgale mitoich hasneh, which was revealed within the thorn bush, meaning mitoich meriras hagolus. Even within, in the bitter exile, the tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu was able to turn on this fire and this light and this hislavas digdusha, and to bring this simcha to Klal Yisrael. Because the tzaddik has the ability to convert the sadness and the depression into simcha, as we learned earlier. However, despite the tzaddik's success, the thorn bush isn't going away. It's not being destroyed. Shafal pikein einoy nichle hasne shehu hakoitz machiv. Meaning that despite that, the thorn bush, that thorn that's stuck into our sides, is still hurting. We're still feeling the pain. Ki afal pikein he mizgabrim bechol pam bekamon echolim varmimius b'li shir. Meaning that despite all the successes of the tzaddikim, the sitrachra still keeps coming back, with all kinds of tricks and everything, ad shehichtiem chato gedoylo tekef achamatan Torah, to the point where the Sitrachra succeeded in getting Klal Yisrael to commit a major, major sin immediately after Matan Torah, the Egel Azov. V'chein kol ho'asor nesyonos, and so too the 10 different tests that Klal Yisrael had during the time that they were traveling in the desert. Shaydezeh nigzru kol hagolios, which is what resulted in all the subsequent exiles, ad hagolos so'oru chamar hazeh, up until today's long, bitter exile. K'mo shekosav, as the pasuk says, u'biyoyim pokti u'fokadati, that Hashem says that whenever the Jews will be a little bad, I'll always mix in a little bit of the bitterness of the Egel HaZohov, and I'll punish them for that also. V'rotzo Moshe la'amoid al hadavar, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get to understand all of this completely. Shezeu b'chinas hasogas keitz haplois, meaning he wanted to understand exactly how all of this is going to be coming to an end. And that's when Hashem said to him, don't get any closer. That's this concept of this blocking, this wall that blocks, that organizes and is miyashev the moichim. ki Moshe zocho oz lebechinas hasogas hatishei cholin anal. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, at that vision of the burning thorn bush, was zeichet to achieve the tishohei cholin she zeichin al yidei simchas hamitzvah, which Rabbeinu Zal had explained to us in Likud Imran, a Jew is zeichet to by performing a mitzvah with simcha. Shehi bechinas his noitzus kabola satoiro shehischilo. This refers to the light of kabola satoiro, which was starting to get turned on over there at the burning thorn bush. Ad shehisig v'ro amash isig, to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to see what he was zeichet to see over there, meaning he obviously saw a very great light. Avol afal pikein ro shadayin hasnein en ukol. However, despite that, he saw the thorn bush was not being destroyed. V'omar, and he said, osurono v'eres hamagdol hazeh. I have to analyze this. Eich masigin his galus elakus besimcha kozois ad sheyucha lechalos hasne legamri. How is a Jew zeiche to achieve a revelation of Hashem with such simcha that they're able to bring about the final gula, to destroy the Sitra Achra completely? Ki kvar mavur ktsas leil, because we learned already previously, sheho beho talya, that these two are dependent upon each other completely. Kol mashem is gabrim lasis mitzvah besimcha, zeichen leize bechines tzmichas keren Yeshua. Loitze ashchina meagolus, lahau is pol aliyas kanal, adate sheichon anal, shishamakura simcha, v'simcha sel nal roshim kanal. That the more a Jew is zeicha to do mitzvahs with simcha, the more that person is zeicha to bring about a Yeshua, to take the Shechin out of Golus, and to climb the ladder to the point where he achieves all the Tishei Cholin. He gets to the top of the ladder, which is the source of simcha, this concept of a simcha seilam al roshim. V'oz mamshichin simcha yisera mimekor ha-simcha. And when a person gets to the top of that ladder, you know what he gets? More simcha. He gets a whole new shower of simcha. V'oz yichoylen levarer b'yoyser mehechli atmurois. And then he's able to go downstairs again into the klipois and make a whole new birur from the hechli atmurois, be able to rescue a whole new bunch of neshamos and sparks of kedusha from there. V'oz oylen yoyser v'yoyser b'liyisanal. And then the person zeicha to rise still higher and higher. Ad shemasigin ma shemasigin mebchinas tesei cholan anal basoga yisera, to the point where he achieves the hasoga of the tishei cholan on a still higher level, because again, there's levels and levels. V'oz mizgadla simcha yoyser, and then the simcha becomes even greater. V'oz yichoyim levar mehechla tmuris yoyser v'yoyser, and then he's able to rescue a whole new batch of sparks of kedusha from mehechla tmuris. V'chein hala, the cycle continues. V'im hoyochoylech kol ze aseder, and if a Jew, or if Klal Yisrael, if the tzaddikim would be zeicha to follow this seder in order, bevadai kvar hoyo keitz hagula shehu al yidei simcha kanal, we definitely would have gotten to the finish line. We would definitely be zeicha to the keitz, which comes about through simcha, as we learned earlier, ki besimcha teitzeyu, that's what takes the Jews out of exile. Avol, however, but, capital B. Avol avoinoi seinu hituele, but unfortunately, our sins got involved in all of this. Shebechol pam mizgaber habaldovor umachti es Yisrael umagbir ha'atzvus, whereby the Eitzahara is constantly trying and succeeding at getting Klal Yisrael to commit sins, and thereby receiving atzvus in place of simcha. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Ya'atzivuhu b'yeshimoin, that the Yetzirah again throws us into atzvus. Bechinas bilbulei emuna, the confusion that the Yetzirah confuses a Jew's emuna in Hashem and emuna tzadikim. Shehu bechinas avoydezoro ukfirus shenikroim atzabim, which is the concept of idol worship and denial of Hashem, which is also one of the nicknames of avoydezoro is atzabim. Al shem ho atzvus, because what they do to a Jew is they impose atzvus. Kemo shekosuv, as we say in Tehillim, atzabehem kesev ezohov. Their idols are of gold and silver. So we see that idols are referred to as atzabehem, miloshen atzvus. And Rav Nosson Zal brings in another place in the Kutei Halachos. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins, meaning that what do sins do to a Jew? They inject worry into the person, worry and sadness and depression and lack of confidence in Hashem and lack of self-confidence. And this is what keeps extending our exile. Because the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael went into Golos only because people stopped believing the way they were supposed to believe. Because this itself is depression. Because when a person believes, when a person has faith, that person is confident, they're happy, happy-go-lucky. And when a person is lacking in faith, then they're unhappy, they're insecure, Rachmona Letzlan. Avol, however, despite this, Gedoy le-hatzadikim shebechol dor, misyagim begoydel koichom bechol dor, lasoik betikun ze, lesameach es Yisrael, alidei horas emun ha-kdoy shebelibam bechol pam. However, the great tzadikim of each and every single generation struggle, and they use every iota of power that they have to be involved in correcting this, to bring simcha to Klal Yisrael by injecting faith into their hearts, b'chol pam, all the time. Avol arichas hagolus. So a person would say, okay, so there's no problem. You have the tzaddikim, they'll fix all of this. There is a problem. Avol ikar arichas hagolus hu alidei amachloikes shechoitrim laharchik leiv b'nei Yisrael mitzaddik emes. The biggest problem is the machloikes, whereby in every generation there are those people who try to block Klal Yisrael from coming close to the true tzaddikim. And that's what blocks us from getting to the finish line. Because again, if Klal Yisrael won't be close to the tzaddikim, then they won't have emuna, then they won't have simcha, and the golus will just keep going. To the point where Moshe Rabbeinu can't even achieve this. Because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't come any closer. Meaning, you can't have this now. Meaning, you haven't succeeded yet in making enough birur from the Hechle HaTmurois to be deserving of getting to that higher level of the Tishei Cholin, where you'll be zeche to achieve mamish the geula. Ki kol hasogas oyer ein soif hu kefi habirur mehechle atmurois bebechinas miemranal. Because as we said earlier, the tzaddik's ability to go high up and to achieve higher levels of understanding and to achieve higher levels of light is dependent on how much he did downstairs, how much work he did in the basement. According to how many sparks of Kedusha he was able to take out of the Hechle Atmurois, according to how many Nefoshos he rescued from there, that's what decides how high up he can go in his Hasag of the Tishrei Cholin. And this is why Hashem said, Shal niolecho me'al raglecho, remove your shoes from your feet. Ki hamokim asherat lo imid olov atmas kodeshu, because the earth that you're standing on is holy earth here. Hainu shelekan nimshach kedushas hamokim u'elyon anal, shu b'chinas koyach hamakiv anal. Meaning Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you are now standing on the essence of Mokoim. As we learned earlier, if you recall, we said that Keser is called Mokoim. Boruch Kevoid Hashem Mim Koimoi. That Mekoimoi Sheloilam, which refers to the Keser, that line where you can't go past that line, that fence. And in order for a person to achieve that place, he's got to take his shoes off. Bechinas shal no lecho, shehu lahavshit atzmoi legamri mehaguf shel olam hazeh. This refers to stripping oneself completely from the gashmius, from the physical body. K'mo shekosu b'zoyer HaKodesh, as the Zoyer HaKodesh says over there, that nal refers to the body. In other words, tearing yourself away from all the taivos and midos rois of this world. However, to achieve this understanding of how to destroy the golos completely, that you will not be able to achieve now. Ki zehu gam kein bechinas hamtein hanal. This goes back to what we said earlier about wait, where when a person is trying to come very close to Hashem, and Hashem says, wait, not yet, not so fast. Shetzorech lahamtein harbe, ad shenizke lebiror mehech le'atmura is kozeh, ad sheyizko atzadikim lahasig eich lechalo is asne legamri. Meaning that we have to be prepared to wait a long time for the tzaddikim to make a lot of birur from the hechle atmurois, for them to be able to bring back many neshamos to tshuva and rescue many sparks of kedusha from the hechle atmurois, to be worthy and deserving of climbing up the ladder high enough, you know, to achieve the understanding of how to wipe out the golus completely. And it's for this reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing to accept this mission for 7 days. And he said to Hashem, send someone else, don't send me, I don't want to go on this mission. Because he saw he had been given the message that even if he takes the Jews out of Mitzrayim, it's still going to be a very, very, very long, hard, long, hot summer. It's going to be a very, very difficult golus still after that. Paragraph Samach. Ad shebesoif, till finally at the end, Vayicharav Hashem b'Moshe, Hashem got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer lo, and Hashem said to him, Haloi Aharon Ochicho HaLevi, you know what? We'll use your brother Aharon HaKohen instead of you. You don't want to go? I'll send Aharon HaKohen. Hashem said, what about your brother Aharon HaKohen? Hinei hu yoytzei likrosecho v'roacho the Samach Baliboy. Because one of the excuses that Moshe Rabbeinu was making, we'll see in a minute. Hashem said to him, what about your brother Aharon HaKohen, who when he's going to see you returning to Egypt, he's going to come and welcome you with a big smile. And the smile is not just going to be on his face. The Samach Baliboy, he's going to be happy in his heart for you. Rav Nosnel says, V'roach ove Samach Baliboy daiko. Look what the Pasuk says. Shaydei ze ikr tikun hageula. This Hashem was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell you what the Gula is really dependent on. It's dependent on this ability of a Jew to look at his fellow Jew and to be happy, to be completely happy for his fellow Jew. Not just happy on the outside, but mamish happy on the inside. Al yidei goydel hasholoim sheyiyo lo imoch. Through the incredible level of peace and love which Aharon HaKohen will have with you and towards you. V'lo yiskanei b'cho klal. He will not feel any iota of jealousy towards you whatsoever, even though he's the older brother. Adarabba, just the opposite. V'samach b'liboy, he'll be happy in his heart for you. Ki ikar ha-tikun al yedei ha-simcha, because as we've emphasized throughout, the main tikun depends on simcha. When a person has that simcha, that's what gives them the ability that when they're doing mitzvahs, they're able to elevate the malchus from the hechle atmurois. At shezoichen lebrochos hanal, and they're zoiche to all the brochos that we discussed earlier. Sheze bechinas kedushas hakohuna. That's the concept of kohuna, which is the concept of blessing. K'mo shekosuv vayiso Aharon es yodo ve'om vayivorchem. Aharon HaKohen, the kohanim, are the ones who give the brochos. As Rabbeinu Zal writes in the Likutei Moran, V'alkein be'emes zocha Aharon al yidei v'samach b'liboy l'gedushas hakohuna kanal. And this is why the Gemara tells us that it was because of this test, because Aharon HaKohen passed this test with flying colors, that he saw another Jew who happened to be his kid brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was being more successful than him. Moshe Rabbeinu was being designated as the Tzadik Hador, the Goyel of Klal Yisrael. And instead of feeling jealousy or negativity or contention or all kinds of other stuff, all he felt was joy and happiness for him. The reward for that was he was zeichet to the kahuna. The Gemara says that because of the samach belipoi, he was zeichet to have the choshen hamishpat on his lave. And this is what resulted in Klal Yisrael being able to be taken out of Egypt. Ki ikar hageula al yidei hasimcha kanal. Because the main geula depends on simcha, as we learned earlier, the ikar shleimus hasimcha hualidei hasholim. And the only way that a person could be zeichet to be really, really happy is when they're in a state of peace. They're completely at peace with their fellow Jews. That no contention, no machlo. Bechinas ki besimcha teitzeyu uveshalom tuvolun. These two go together. Hainu shegila lo Hashem yisborach. Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu ki hahechrech sheyelech b'shlichusoi, that he must go on this mission, ligoil es Yisrael, v'liten lanu es haTorah, to redeem Klal Yisrael and to give us the Torah. Ki im hu lo yelech b'shlichusoi ato, lo yugalu Yisrael lo oilom. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu will not go now to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, then Klal Yisrael will never be redeemed. Kemo shekosu b'medrash, as the Medrash says, Hashem said, im ein ato golom, ein achar golom. If you don't take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, nobody else will. Hainu shegiraloi, Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, she'adaraba, just the opposite of the way that you're thinking, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're thinking that you know that even after Klal Yisrael is going to come out of this golos, it's not going to be a final gula. There's still going to be mess-ups and there's still going to be tremendous tzoros. However, machmas arichas hagolus shelachshov muchrocha toleilech bishluchasecho kedei litenas haTorah alideze. Because of the fact that the golus is so long, the golus that we're going through now is such a long golus, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim in order to bring them to Mount Har Sinai to receive the Torah. Kim lo yehoyinu mekaplem es haTorah alidei Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yehoyo efshar ato lehiskayim begolus hamar horach hazeh klal. Because were it not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim at that time, bringing us the Har Sinai and giving us the Torah, so that we have the Torah with us from that day and on, we would never ever have made it through this long golus that we're going through now. Ukema shekosu b'Zohar HaKodesh, as the Zohar HaKodesh says, she'ikar hatikvo ato, Hualidei shekvar hiktim lanu Hashem Yisborach refu olamako, shekvar kibalnu es haTorah v'mitzvot es haYedei Moshe Rabbeinu. That the main hope that we have now, the main confidence that we have that we're going to make it through this golus that we're going through right now, is only because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on Har Sinai, and we have the Torah and mitzvot to sustain us while we're in golus. Because it's the Torah and mitzvot that give us the ability to be happy all the time with the great mitzvot that we get to do every day. Afilu hakal shebekalim. Even the smallest Jew, the least religious Jew, is zeicher to do mitzvot every day. V'ho'ikar al yidei gdoilei hatzadikim shebechol doer shemachnisim bonu lesameach nafsheinu benekudas hamitzvos kanal. And especially, most importantly, via the help of the tzadikim of every generation, who are the ones who show Klal Yisrael how to enjoy and how to rejoice with the mitzvos that we have. Shaydezeh malin hashchina b'chol pam. And it's by performing the mitzvos with simcha, that's what gives us the ability to elevate the Shechina all the time, ad shezeichen lekol anal, until we're zeichet to all the tikkunim that we discussed, you know, throughout this chapter. Ad shenizke legula shleima, and until in the end we'll be zeichet to a complete redemption. Aval im lo yehoye Moshe Rabbeinu mekabel es haTorah, lo yehoye efshar lesameach nafshenu ato, v'lo yehoye efshar lotzeis me'agolus klal. And therefore, had Moshe Rabbeinu not received the Torah, we would have nothing to bring simcha to us while we're in golus, and we would have no way in the world to be able to exit from golus. Ki b'mitzrayim shelo yizgabra adayin golus edom kol kach. Because during the time that we were in Mitzrayim, and the golus of Edom had not yet come into the picture, hoyo maspik kedushas hatzadikim Yaakov uvonov, ובפרט קדושת יוסף הצדיק כנעל, שיהיה להם כוח להחיות נפשם לסבול הגולוס. It was enough for Klal Yisrael at that time, the fact that they had Yaakov Avinu and his sons, especially Yosef HaTzadik, to sustain them and to give them the ability to withstand all the struggles and difficulties of the Golos at that time. Avol ato, but Rav Nosson Zal says, whereas today, now, biduchko de Golusa basro, now that we're under the pressures and the difficulties of this final exile, lo yoyo efshar lahachis nafshenu velotzeis mi'agolus lulei sheigdim lanu atoyra v'amitzvois. There'd be no way in the world for us to be able to make it out of Golus and or to sustain ourselves during the time we're in Golus were it not for the Torah and mitzvois, asher heim chayenu v'simchosenu, which are our life and our joy. K'mashikosev, as we say in the davening, v'nismach b'divrei soirosecho v'mitzvoisecho lo'olam voed. We will rejoice and enjoy Hashem's Torah and mitzvois all the time, forever. Ki heim chayenu, because they are our life. U'k'mashikosev, and as David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, chapter 119, lulei soirosecho shashuoi, oz ovadati b'onyi. Were it not for your Torah, Hashem, which is our greatest pleasure and enjoyment, we would be lost in our suffering. Havul kol koyach hagula mimitzrayim oz, hoyo al yedei v'roacho v'somach b'liboi shel Aharon. Now Rav Nosson Zal jumps back to the point that he made a few lines earlier. Rav Nosson Zal says, the main thing that helped Klal Yisrael exit from Golus Mitzrayim was the fact that Aharon HaKohen passed his test in an incredible way. That Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to see that when Aharon HaKohen sees you, his younger brother, coming to take Klal Yisrael out of Golus, not only is he not going to feel bad or be jealous or anything like that, on the contrary, V'roacho, he will see you, V'somach b'liboy, he'll be happy, not just on the surface, not just on the outside, V'somach b'liboy, he's going to be happy in his heart of hearts. Shezocho l'gdushas hakohuna al yidei zeh, and in the schus of this sincere happiness, Aharon HaKohen was zeichet to the kohuna. Kanal, as we mentioned earlier, Shehu Bechinas Birchas Hayodaim, which corresponds to the Birchas Hayodaim that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned in the chapter on Likutei Moran that this halacha is based on. Shaydeze Zoichen LaHasogas Tes Hecholim, and it's through that that a person is zoichet to achieve the nine Hecholim, Shemishom Kol Yediyas VaHasogas Alokus, which is the source of all ability to understand Hashem. Sheze Iker Tachlis Hagula Kanal, which is obviously the main goal and purpose and objective of the Gula, to be Zoicha, to get to understand Hashem on the highest levels. Ki Iker Ikuv Hagulos Hoyali De Doson Vaviram, because Rav Nosson Zal says the main thing that caused Klal Yisrael to be stuck in exile and that delayed the redemption was people like Doson Vaviram, Shehem Roshe HaChilkim, who were the main people who instigated Machloikis, VaHakruchim Achreim, and their followers, their constituents, Shemehem Bo Kol HaKilkulim VaNisyonois, Shaydezen Izgalgalu Kol HaChurbonois, Churban Bayis Rishonu, Bayis Sheinu, V'Chol Atzoris, Rachmanu Litzlan, Ad HaGolus Achron Hazeh. They were the ones who caused Klal Yisrael to mess up in so many different ways and to be tested and to cause Churban Beis HaMikdosh, the first Beis HaMikdosh, second Beis HaMikdosh, and all the suffering until this finest Golus. She'ikra Richas HaGolus al Yidei HaMachloikes Kanal. The main thing that's causing the Golus that we're in to be so long, so extended, is Machloikes. Ki bechol hamachloikes yesh nitzutzei doson vaviram, kama shom razal. Because the Gemara tells us that wherever you find the Torah speaking about machloikes among Jews, there were always particles and sparks of doson vaviram involved in that. Parts of their neshama are always involved in it. Avol afal pikein, however, despite all of this, Ato Moroim Lioilam Hashem. Hashem is always on top. Hashem always comes out succeeding. Kios Nimtzo Aaron HaKohen Shelo Yiskana Begdulas Moshe Ochava Kotmei Rabishonim. Because during the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was an Aaron HaKohen who was not jealous whatsoever of the greatness, the glory of his younger brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was younger in years. Adarabba, just the opposite. Yotza Likrosei Besimcha, he came to greet his brother and to welcome him when Moshe Rabbeinu was making a return from the land of Midian, coming back to Egypt. Aaron HaKohen came out to welcome with tremendous joy, happiness. Shaydezeh Hoyo Hagula Rishayna. That was one of the main forces in bringing about that first Gula, the Gula of Mitzrayim. V'yoz nimshecho kedusha sakuhuna, and that's when the kedusha of the kohuna was really initiated. U'bekoyach zeh, bekoyach Moshe v'Aaron HaKohen, nimtzoim ato gamkein b'chol dor v'dor tzadikim u'ksherim amitim, sheheim nilvim el gedolei tzadikim amuvchorim, u'smeichem likrosom, v'shoimim la'atzosom, u'mesamchem nafshom b'asiyas kol mitzvah u'mitzvah. And Rav Nosson Zal says, similarly, following in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, we have today also, in every single generation, there are tzaddikim, great tzaddikim, and there are religious people who are attached to these great tzaddikim, and who are happy to greet these tzaddikim. There's no jealousy, chas shom, anything like that. On the contrary, there's only joy, v'shoimim latzosom, and the students who listen to and who accept the advice of the great tzaddikim, u'mesamchem nafshom basiyas kol mitzvah mitzvah, and they rejoice with the performance of each and every single mitzvah. Shaydezeh tovoy hagula hashlema. And it's these people, it's this attitude, this is the winning attitude. The tzaddikim and the ones that are attached to them, where by them there's no machloik, there isn't machloikas, there isn't jealousies, this is what's going to bring about the gula shlema. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, ki besimcho teitzeyu uveshalom tuvolun. That it's this winning combination of simcha, being zoicha to really be happy, and especially to be happy with Yiddishkeit, to be happy with mitzvahs of Hashem, to be happy with learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, and to be in a state of shalom, not to have any negative feelings towards other Jews, towards all other Jews, especially towards the true tzaddikim. This combination is what's going to take Klal Yisrael out of the golus that we're in right now. Paragraph Samach Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas birchas shechionu. Based on what we've been learning now, we can understand one of the laws in the Shulchan Aruch, shekishehu roye es chaveroi shechoviv olov v'someach biriyosoi mevorech shechionu. That when a Jew sees a close friend that he really enjoys seeing, whom he hasn't seen for a period of 30 days, he makes a bracha, shechiyonu v'kiyamonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. Just to pause for a moment, as far as halacha lemaisa, I've heard that many, many poskim prefer that a Jew not make this bracha today using Hashem's name. In other words, not to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. If you want to say the Shechiyonu, to say Baruch Shechiyonu V'Kiyamonu V'Giyonu Lazman, because they say that today we're not really qualified to know who's a good friend. You know what the definition of a real good friend is, etc., etc. That and other reasons, they hesitate to give permission, you know, to use this bracha. Although I have seen my rabbi, Reb Michel, on occasion, you know, not often, that when a close friend, an important person from Chutz Laretz, you know, will come to Eretz Yisrael, whom he hasn't seen, you know, for a year or 6 months, at times, I've seen him even go as far as to make the bracha with Shem and Malchus, with Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So to know that there is such a thing. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki ze ikar hachius v'hakiyum, because this is the main life and sustenance of a Jew, is to have a real, the right kind of friend. Kishesmechim b'ri'iyas chaveroi isha Yisraeli, when a Jew is zoicha to rejoice and to enjoy seeing his fellow Jew. Sheikra simcha ma shezochu shnei Yisraelim ho'oyavim zezeh lezvayit yachad b'shoim, where the main simcha is simply in the fact that two Jews who love each other, who like each other, are zeichet to get together with, you know, in peace. Shaydezeh ikra hagdola simchas Yisrael, and this is what helps to magnify and to increase the simcha of Klal Yisrael. Ki bekol echot miYisrael yesh chelek elokam imal shehi mekoyer hasimcha, because each and every single one of us possesses a neshama, a part of Hashem, which is Hashem is the mocher of simcha, the source of all joy. Bechinas yismach Yisrael ba'oisav, as the Torah testifies that Klal Yisrael rejoices with their Creator. Ach haklipo hakidemes lepri shibchinas atzvus choifeolav. However, we know there's this concept of the peel, the husk, that covers the fruit, which is the atzvus that encases a person, v'tzorech hizgabrus godoy lahagbir asimcha l'atzvus, and a Jew needs tremendous energy that his joy should be able to overcome the depression, the sadness. V'hi melchoma gedoyla, and this is a major battle. Alkein tzrichem ozeh sheizchabru v'izkapsu kama nefoshes Yisrael. Therefore, it's necessary and it's important that many Jews should get together. Ki kol ma shemizkapsim u'mizchabrim bi'ahava nefoshes hachaverim bi'yoser, because the more that people who like each other get together with a good feeling of happiness, mizgadel hasimcha bi'yoser, the joy reaches a much higher level. Obviously, there's a difference between three good, close friends getting together, you know, to learn or to daven or to do a mitzvah or to sing together, sing zmiras on Shabbos, versus 30 close friends who get together, you know, and again, we're talking about close friends who are singing together or learning together and enjoying.